On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing. Whatever.
It's National Tory Week, and to celebrate it with us is Tori. Hi, Tori.
Hey, Ron.
There she is.
Here I is.
I hear her now. She's in another studio somewhere, so I can't see her.
You can't get away from me that easy.
So I didn't know you were here, but that's great to hear you.
Yeah, I'm back. I was on a little vacay.
Cool. Yeah, you look refreshed in the tan.
It's a burn. I see the burn.
Oh, feel the burn.
Right there.
Ouch. Ow.
It's not too bad, but see, yeah. When you get in the sun like that.
How come your face isn't red?
I have the hat on.
Oh, the hat on. The hat on trick. I never think of that. I always get fooled by the hat on deal.
You yeah. And your hat on.
Yeah. No, I tell everybody wear proper neck cover.
Is that what you tell them?
No, I don't tell anybody.
I've never
that.
Heard you. I don't think you talk to people.
That's right. I write it down and I pass notes.
Remember what I sent
yes,
you?
Yes.
The woman pretended to be blind for 28 years.
Yeah.
That's awesome. If you can do it.
It is awesome. If it's a true story.
Yeah.
And of course, there's something horribly wrong with her.
I know, right? And she looked beautiful. If that's a lady.
Yeah.
I'm so confused.
Yeah.
Did she wear like Stevie, you know, Wonder glasses?
Yeah. No, apparently this woman, where did she live?
I don't know. I just, maybe it's a meme. I don't even know. But my friend Amanda, Boss Tran, shout out. She's just like you. She said you're her brother.
Yeah.
Because, you know, people, stand back, hand sanitizer, and get the GFO.
Yeah. Whatever that means. Yeah, she went 28 years. She pretended she was blind, even to her family. That's where I think the story kind of shakes for me.
I went to the doctor, and I can't see any of you anymore. It would be better to be deaf, wouldn't it, though?
Yeah, I would have played that. I would have played that. Or I would have had a constant sexual disease
Point where one wants to touch you?
Or be near me.
Did you see Jerry Seinfeld, how he wouldn't hug... That what's her name, Keisha?
Well, that's different.
Yeah,
Jerry Seinfeld was at some type of award ceremony or something on a red carpet, and this woman comes running over to him and says, "Can I get a hug? Can I get a hug?
Please,
Yeah, and he said, "No." He thought she was a crazy person,
and it was. Yeah.
And you know what? I've got a kind of.
She is.
Well, yeah, but apparently she's a celebrity. I've never heard of her either.
She puts her S as a dollar bill sign, Keisha.
What does she do?
She's a singer.
I did not know.
Yeah.
I did not know her.
She's had a couple of big hits, but I mean, that's been a while. I don't know what she's doing now.
But she got on the red carpet somehow.
Yeah.
So obviously, I guess he should have figured she's somebody.
That's totally embarrassing. That's humiliating.
Well,
for him.
Yes, I agree with you. He actually said to the person who was interviewing him, "I don't know who that is. I'm not going to let a stranger hug me. I don't know. Who is that?"
And then he said he told him. He goes, "Oh, well. Good luck with her."
I don't think he ever heard of her when they said that's Kasha or whatever.
I'm embarrassed that I know, so.
Yeah, I'd be embarrassed too.
Yeah.
I don't know half these people anymore.
You're better off.
I don't know if it's an age thing or whether maybe that's the phase of me that doesn't care about that kind of stuff, perhaps. Keisha Kasha, Felicia Papa, Flicka. I don't know. I know Flicka was a horse at one point.
Hey, you know what? I haven't talked to you since your Indy 500. I know you told me you watched that race. Did you watch it?
Mm-hmm.
And Takuma Matata won?
Yes.
Takuma Matata. I was just singing that the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Even though I know that's not his name.
No.
It's Takuma something else. But.
Well, it's going to change it now. Did you watch the whole race?
No, just where there were a couple of crashes.
There was like a big crash.
I watched the finish, and I was so exciting
because
this guy was just like, he had it was his race to lose.
I enjoy those kind of race cars because they look so much more dangerous.
Yeah.
They're going like over 200 miles an hour in like a nothing.
Yeah.
But yet they always survive these crashes.
Yeah, that crash, he totally walked away.
Yeah.
The other guy.
Weird stuff.
Nuts.
Yet I
get those neck things, that's why.
And you know, it's like you get a fender bender and your car's gone.
Yeah, I don't have a car. Not since December.
Yeah.
I'm walking now.
Yeah.
I'm walking here.
Well, at least you're fine. At least you can get hurt.
Yeah, but they take you to the ambulance because they like to make the money. You know, that's big money for them when they drag those ambulances out.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tori had a fender bender, which destroyed her car somehow. And
it was a scratch on the other guy because he had an SUV.
Apparently, you're very, very smart when you have incidents because you were literally at the hospital.
I was across the street. Yes. Just, I can walk, you know, really. Know, you don't have to drive me and for like $10,000. You don't have to bring me across the street. Stupid.
$10,000.
You know, it's ridiculous.
It was kind of, it's, and that's the only funny thing about it.
Yeah, that was the timing and where it was. Right, it was like 2 weeks before Christmas. So everyone already is in a panic.
Yeah.
They're driving around like mental people. You shouldn't leave your house from Thanksgiving to New Year's. Just don't do it.
You really shouldn't.
There's no point.
Do all your Christmas shopping in April.
Or online. Dude, yeah. Have them come right to your house.
Yeah, I can't shop online anymore.
Wait, you're so afraid of those numbers going into this cloud, right?
Yeah, whatever. I don't know what the cloud is, but I don't know what a cloud is. I don't trust any clouds.
My pictures go right into the cloud now, Ron. Everything I take on my phone goes into the cloud. So good thing I'm not taking any weird
pictures.
Can't
you choose whether it goes in the cloud or not?
I don't know. I can't figure that setting out. All I know is everything's going up there, and I'm not taking pictures of my nether regions or anything, right, or anybody else's. It's just my grandkids, I don't know, a nice flower I see. Mm-hmm. But still, it's going up there. It shows a little picture of a little cloud icon and with a little arrow. Boing, wow. There it goes.
You should take a picture of a cloud.
I've done that.
I know, I bet you have.
I have to.
Just to teach the cloud a lesson.
I know. Here you go. It'll blow their mind. Their cloud mind.
Won't know what to do with it. Well, I don't know where to put this now.
I will internalize this. Yes.
I'll have to write a book about this.
After I eat my feelings.
Speaking of books, later on in the program, we have a very interesting guest who wrote a book called Popular. Mitch Frinstein will be joining us, or Princeton, whatever.
Yeah, Mitch Princeton.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice guy.
That'll be interesting.
Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, we'll see how
from
it goes.
From what I read. Right. It's from these reviews.
Yeah, he's got a lot of reviews.
New York Times, yeah. That's something.
You know who else has reviews? Are all the products online. They all have reviews too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You mean like Yelp?
Anytime you buy anything from anything, there's a review on it.
Yeah.
Isn't there?
Yeah.
And apparently if you don't have any reviews, then people don't buy from you.
I don't know. I'll still buy. I'll try it out.
Why couldn't I just take like $100 and go to 100 people and say, I'll give you a dollar, just write something nice about me on my page as a review? I mean, isn't that the way that usually works?
Well, I think what you're talking about is like a shill. And I know that there's people that do that. They don't just, I don't know if they get paid, but I go to Amazon and I'm reading these reviews of these glowing things and other people are saying, this is crap. I don't know what these people are talking about because I think they're paid, not a dollar, but more.
You can tell
write a good
when they
review.
Overdo it.
Yeah.
And yes, of course they're paid to do it. And if it's a company and they have a product, why wouldn't they pay somebody to do that in multiple numbers? Of course they would. It's part of the deal.
If I read bad reviews, I won't buy. I trust the bad reviews over the good reviews.
I do too, Tori. I immediately go to the worst reviews with like one star or something, and I see. And then every once in a while I've gotten a product and it didn't work out. And then I go to Mr. Computer and I say, well, what do other people think? And I agree with their bad reviews.
Then you
should
have read it first before you bought it. I know.
But
you got me doing it now. You got me doing it. And you know, I do it on my daughter now. And she said it's from Seinfeld. It's Jerry.
It is?
He started this. Yes. We have Jerry to thank.
I guess he did.
I know. So I've been doing it and I can't stop. I said, I blame Ron. He started doing it a few months ago.
Yeah.
And I've been hearing it every week. And now I've attached to it.
Hmm.
And I feel I'm compelled to do it. It's awful. It's like smoking.
So I'm sorry. Can't stop. Is that what you want from me?
There could be. No, because we have to go back to Jerry, the source. Okay. But it's fine. There could be so many things. I could be dropping F-bombs all the time.
Yes.
Ron, I'm around Ron. He swears like a sailor.
Well, I was never in the service, so I would not swear like a sailor.
Did you ever drive a truck?
No, actually never did.
Ooh.
I don't know how to drive a stick shift.
No way.
Nope.
I got that over you.
Nope. Yes,
I learned
you
when
do.
I was 19.
I have a feeling you've got a lot over me.
I don't know. I've had more kids than you. I don't know. That's about it.
I've had no kids. I mean, physically.
Oh.
I physically born no children.
See, you're tricky. You trolled me a little.
Oh, I think I understand the difference between having kids and participating in the cause thereof.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no. A man does not have kids.
There would be no babies if men had to have babies. I've stood by that for many years.
I agree with you. Well, there'd be a lot less.
I don't think there'd be any.
Well, you have to stop drinking, so.
That Arnold Schwarzenegger movie was so ridiculous. Please.
He's ridiculous.
I mean, I like him as a guy, as a governator, and as an actor, but that movie was, men can't have uteruses. Please don't ever make a movie like that again. It was so offensive and creepy.
Well, it was creepy that he had a uterus. I mean, maybe maybe Tony Randall or something. You know,
no,
I can
worse.
See that.
Worse.
But not Schwarzenegger. My God, that's like Stallone.
Was Danny DeVito in that one too, where they were twins? No, that was Junior. That was Emma Thompson.
That was a movie called Twins.
Yeah. No, that was Junior. Junior was when he was pregnant. With Emma Thompson was like the lady. And Twins was, Danny DeVito. Because they were twins, obviously. Right, right. That's what made it funny.
Another very plausible situation.
I know, right?
I hope Danny came out first, because Schwarzenegger would have busted the damn thing.
Well, the Terminator was more plausible. And it could go back in time or forward in time. You know.
2001 was a Space Odyssey. Did you ever see that movie?
Are you serious right now?
I'm sorry.
1968. Who hasn't seen that movie?
I don't know.
Really? There's people that haven't, huh?
It was the most exciting experience, because I was getting high back then.
Yeah, Stanley Kubrick. Mm-hmm.
And they had a thing back then, and kids won't understand what I'm talking about, but it's called Cinerama.
Mm, yes.
And not every theater had it, just some.
And that must have blown your mind.
Literally. It literally blew my mind.
That's what's wrong with you now.
You would get high, you would sit in the first row, and for those that don't understand what Cinerama is, it's like the curved TVs now. But it wraps all the way around. It goes back like about 10 rows on each side.
Whoa.
And I would sit in the front row and get high with my friends, with a little help from my friends.
You're a rebel.
I was in those days. And I know. And I would sit in the first row I'd be high. And then the second part of the film, of course, all takes place in space.
Yeah.
It takes place in space.
See, my daughter does that to me all the time. Yeah. Every misspoke I do, she's fine. On it.
It's good for her.
It makes me laugh, though.
Well, it keeps you on your toes.
It does.
It's important to be observant and aware of things.
Yeah.
Because then I think I'm possibly dead. You know that movie, was that movie there where I See Dead People, what was that called?
The Sixth Sense.
That's the one.
Bruce Willis. Yes. Haley Joel Osment.
That's correct. I sometimes feel like maybe that's happening to me.
Oh my God. Me too. The other day when I drove to Norton, it was Middleboro.
Yeah.
When you go to Middleboro, man, I told you.
That's
scary.
A different world.
You don't even come out. You can't get out.
Yeah. Is that where Tom Thumb had a house?
Probably.
Or a condo or?
Something. Who's Tom Thumb? You mean that little guy from the fairy tale?
Yeah, I think there was a real one.
No, really?
I think so.
Oh, well, you got to be Googling this shit.
Apparently his house is in Middleboro, or was.
Really?
I don't think he's around anymore.
And they spell Middleboro differently, like the borough, O-U-G-H.
I think they're all supposed to be spelled like that.
Like donut. It's
just, yeah, very.
And draft beer.
That's the original spelling
the
of those things.
The GHT of everything
Absolutely.
Has to end in GHT.
Yeah, and then we dumbed it down.
Yeah.
Just by putting an O at the end, you know, and getting rid of all those extra vowels.
Yeah, we have to. Because Merkel.
Well, it makes Scrabble a little less interesting.
Oh, yeah.
But easier nonetheless.
It's true.
On your show, you were going on about Kathy Griffin, and I found that fascinating because recently, a few days ago, Kathy Griffin, who is a quote-unquote comedian, held up in a publicity photo or something, or in a video or something.
I think it was a photo.
Okay. The severed head of Donald Trump.
Which was supposed to be him. Yeah.
Yes. Well,
it wasn't him.
No.
He just said he held it to Donald Trump.
Well, maybe people didn't read the news. He's been severed.
Yeah.
No, he hasn't. It was a likeness.
Yeah.
And she's holding it up by his hair, which would definitely hold for quite some time.
God.
And it's
maybe
bloody
not.
And it's disgusting. And everybody took offense to that, even though it was Donald Trump's
Although
head.
Although Alec Baldwin seemed to come to her defense, I read.
What did
and
he
that's,
say?
I don't know, but he did. He defended it could be a comedian.
Yeah, but.
You know.
No.
I just never found her funny anyway, so I'm sorry.
I have a problem with insult humor. I don't find insult humor to be funny. And here's why. I used to like Don Rickles.
Yeah, I was thinking of him.
And he's a veteran insult comedian. He kind of started the whole thing. And I actually went to see him in nightclubs when I was like a teenager because I thought he was that funny. Mm-hmm. And then as I got a little bit older, I started realizing, Ron, what are you laughing at? And I started to feel guilty that I was laughing at him making fun of minorities and all this kind of thing. And then at the end just saying, but I'm only kidding, I'm Mr. Warmth. I love everybody.
Right.
And I thought, how can you do this like for 2 hours and just say, yeah, no, I'm only kidding.
And doing anything for laughs.
It started bothering me at a point. It's like a comedian that constantly curses, and there's not much meat to the joke. It's just that he sounds like real.
They want attention. People that thrive on attention, like maybe Kathy Griffin. She needs some kind of. She's nothing's happening.
Big
Let's
time.
Shake up the world
Big
here.
Time.
And she had to know it was going to do that. There's no way it can't.
You think so?
Yes, of course.
Because she does that all the time.
She just doesn't care. She's almost like she doesn't have a filter. Now now she's all sorry. Well, I guess you should have thought of that before.
You know what I found very odd about that is her I'm sorry video, which is what I... She had absolutely no makeup on whatsoever. Yeah. Did you notice that?
Yeah, she needs to wear makeup all the time.
Oh, my God.
I'd rather she look like a transvestite than her real face.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
It kind of... But you know what also it said to me? And I don't know if this is... See, I don't know women anymore. I don't know how people look. I know how guys look all the time. I know exactly what they look like.
Exactly.
There are many, many women... that I know that if I saw them without their makeup on, I literally would walk right past them and not even know who they are.
Now, what about me?
I have no idea who you are.
No, I mean...
Oh.
How did you get in here? Should I call the police? I mean, because I don't really wear makeup, so... Mm-hmm.
Oh, so then...
You just would know me no matter what.
Right. Yes, obviously. But somebody who wears makeup all the time, I literally would... And Kathy Griffin would be a very good example of that.
Prime example.
And I think there are some people that I know in real life that only will walk out of the house.
Right.
There's a friend of mine. You know him, too.
Oh, it's a him? I thought you could say her.
No.
Oh, he's metrosexual. Okay.
No. He has a wife. And we used
to... That means nothing. Go on.
We used to go out to dinner with them every once in a while.
Yeah.
His wife wore makeup as part of her life.
Sure.
Got over to her house early, their house early, knocked on the door. We were like 15, 20 minutes early.
And you thought the maid answered the door?
No. Oh, that would have been a good story. I'm going to change my story. And I thought the maid answered the door. No, he answered the door.
Oh.
And I said, hey. And he said, come on in. And I said, where's your wife? He says, well, she's upstairs. And
not
I said,
ready yet.
Yes. And I said, well, okay. So like, I said, how you doing up there? And she would not.
Even for you?
Nobody. She he explained to me,
oh my God,
she will not go out in public or even downstairs.
Is she disfigured?
No.
Okay.
She won't even, I guess if she wants a sandwich, she has to put her makeup on. She would not even go downstairs unless that's how.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I think I don't know what she looks like at all.
Wow.
She's not married to her anymore, so it doesn't matter.
You've seen me. I've come here right out of bed, and there's nothing.
I've seen you bring your sheets and your blanket.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, this is how, I don't care, because it's a podcast, but you've seen the worst.
Yeah.
So it doesn't get any worse than that.
Oh, that's fine.
That's fine.
But it's just interesting how most women, I will say most women.
Yeah, a lot.
I don't know who I'm looking at. I'm looking at a painting of somebody. Literally.
Yeah, okay.
Literally.
Painting, I see that.
Yeah, interesting.
It is.
I surprised myself.
It could be an insecure thing. You know,
it could be
a little bit of that.
And I know there was a time when men actually wore makeup. They wore powder and wigs and stuff.
Oh yeah, and some would still wear eyeliner. They're goth
yes.
guys.
Yeah, I guess that's just
and Johnny Depp, the Pirates of the Caribbean. He's a makeup pirate.
True that too.
I like that.
Well, he always looks like he has eyeliner.
Yeah, he does though.
Yeah, he has probably got that permanent stuff.
Have you seen him without any makeup? He looks old, man. He's had a hard life. They just got some pictures of him without makeup, dude.
Oh, man. I passed him at Shaw's and I didn't know who he was.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah. I would pass him all the time.
Hey, Neil Caputo. I saw a little blurb about him. Mm-hmm. He called out Donald Trump and he's Fox News.
Yeah. What's going on with that?
That's pretty cool. And now everyone's, of course, on Fox News going, they're not right. They believe everything that's positive for Trump and anything negative, it's fake news. That's awful.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just waiting for things. I'm waiting, waiting for my prediction to come true.
You think? And it's getting to that point. All these things are happening.
It's getting to the point, but this guy Don, he doesn't even know that it's getting to that point. He still thinks that everything is very cool for him.
But
that's the best part.
Because it'll pull the rug out from under him.
I'm just waiting. Yeah, I'm just waiting for Here, Republicans can actually save their party and make it very mighty.
That's a good point.
If they just stood up now and said, okay, this is not
enough.
Us.
Right, enough is enough.
He is not representing us. These are not,
Marco Rubio started that. I think he's on board with that. And John McCain.
Let's do it. Marco.
Rubio.
Okay.
Rubio?
Whatever,
Polo.
Whatever.
But you know what I started thinking about Donald Trump? Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
This is very true. Mm-hmm. He will tweet, okay?
Yes.
Muslim travel ban.
Yes.
The media goes on and said, Donald Trump tweeted Muslim travel ban. And then he'll say, That's just the media. The media is saying everything.
Right. I'm quoting the media.
I'm quoting the media. But all they do is quote him so that you know what he can do now? He can say and do whatever he wants because all he can turn around and say is, that's the media.
Yeah,
man.
But the last one, see, this is the stupidity of what we're dealing with.
Right.
The last one said it was frustrating and he said, okay. He said, let's just call it exactly what it is.
Yes.
A travel ban.
Yes.
He ruined himself in the foot. His entire Supreme Court case.
Yeah, they've been working and working.
Because that's the reason that they wouldn't put it through. Because it was a travel.
He's an idiot. Completed it.
That's why I'm just figuring that by August, this has got to come to a head because he's probably just going to say, all right, so who cares? So maybe I did arrange this with the Russians to have Hillary lose. Who cares now? You know, that's what he would probably say.
Yeah. I'm telling you, there's a documentary. I told you it was done by the Dutch, and you should watch it. It's online YouTube for free. How he's connected to all these Russians, and he has been for years and years and years. All these business dealings. It's just a fact.
It's funny because I mean it's probably not true. It's probably fake news. But the rumor is that at times he would go to Russia and have Russian prostitutes, and they'd pee on him. And I get that because I'd pee on him too. Well, I would just for fun. I wouldn't even have to be paid.
Are they doing the peeing or is he doing the peeing? I'm confused.
I'm not sure, actually. But it's probably not real. But even if it was and he admitted to it, I don't think people would care that much anymore.
They know what? They love him. They still follow him. They're followers. They're believers. They believe all of it. So that's fine. He can do that.
I mean, he should add it to his repertoire. I can shoot a person in Manhattan in broad daylight and not lose a follower. I can pee on a Russian person. They can pee on me and pay them prostitution money. And I'm not going to lose a follower.
Yeah, he's not breaking any laws to say that and to do that. He's probably not breaking any laws. So
no, he's not.
He has to legally break the law.
Don't help with your popularity, really.
No.
34% approve.
Is it going down?
His performance. Yeah, it's going down.
I can't tell if that's like a good number.
It hovers between 35 and 45 and 49. Now it's down to 34.
Okay. Who are they asking? I wonder how they do those.
His customer base is the people that buy the ties, I assume. They're just...
Ivanka Trump? She's got a place in China. Not a place, but a corporation where they make her clothes. They do it in China.
Oh, great.
China.
Here we go again.
And they had three investigators who were undercover in her plant... that went missing. And this has been dog. It's already on Guardian, everything. You can look it up. The police apparently arrested them. Then they found out the police had gotten, they said they've never had people arrested that were undercover for any other company. Mm-hmm. This is the first time it's happened that the police, and now the U.S. is, quote, trying to get them released because they were investigating Ivanka Trump's, her sweatshop.
You think that's real? You think that's a fake news thing?
No, that's real.
Maybe the Russians put that out.
Really?
No. I don't know. I have no idea.
No, because they have names of these people that were actually missing, and their family's like, where did they go? It's like a freaking Steven Seagal movie.
Well, I'll be waking up from this nightmare eventually, and right now I'm enjoying a nice nap, apparently.
It's the Matrix, and dude. I told you.
And Tori's in my dream, oddly enough, in my nightmare. She's also in...
I feel like
I'm talking to you, but I know that I'm sleeping right now.
This is in an alternate reality.
That's just a nap, hun. That's all it is.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Not a big deal. It's just a nap.
You have to be an interesting character. I read a whole article. It was long, long, long about this one guy's theory. We should get him on to interview about that this is all like a program that's being played for us. And the only way you're going to survive is if you're an intensive storyline character like Donald Trump.
Oh.
So we have to all be intensive. Don't be boring and sit in your room and go, I'm bored. I don't know what to do. Because then you're not going to make it. You have to be... Like, then, you know, they'll play you. Remember, like, Men in Black, how the universe was a little globe around this cat's thing?
Yes.
And that inside and that inside. It's almost like that's what this is. And they're controlling how weird it can get. And they have a little kid in charge of it now. And he's saying, I want Donald Trump to be president. Okay, we'll try that out.
Oh, it's a hell of a great fictional story.
Yeah.
Did this ever happen? I've never discussed this on the air before.
Then why start now?
You're right.
No, I'm serious. So anyway. I'm just kidding. Go on.
Did this happen to you? I remember this distinctly. I was sitting in the back seat of a car. I was about maybe 5 years old. It's one of the first memories I ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the, we were on the West Side Highway in Manhattan, and 5 years old, something like that. And all of a sudden it popped into my head. I really believed, I had like this very deep thought
about
my existence.
Did you did talk about this. We talked about it like 4 months ago.
And why don't I remember telling you this? It was only 4 months ago and I don't remember telling you this.
Yep.
Wow.
It was last winter.
All right. Well, so I'm sitting there and I said to myself, is this all that's happening? Is my existence, are all these people around me, the mother, the father, the cars,
yeah,
the people,
yeah, yeah,
are they there
for you?
For me?
Yeah, for you.
Because I can't think of any other explanation for this.
That's deep. And I told you it was like a Red Hot Chili Pepper song.
Yeah.
I remember this conversation.
I could have grown up to be Trump. Because I think that's the way he feels.
I'm not sure.
Probably not.
Yeah.
Right.
No.
Wow, I actually said that to you.
Yeah,
now
you
I'm
did.
Questioning my own brain power.
The Lipitor.
Yeah.
That's probably. But, yeah, I was going to say something.
I'm just going to let the cholesterol build up, actually.
I really can't remember. Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know about that. No. I don't have a high cholesterol problem. I never did.
No. Well, you're skinny.
You know, I'm not. I just put on a pair of shorts, different pair, not these pair, but I put on a different pair to wear today. Guess what? Not going to go. It didn't go around me. And okay. They had them last summer.
All right, look.
So I'm okay.
All right, look.
I see how this goes. Fine, whatever.
That was the wrong word. you're
I weigh 103 pounds, 102. So you tell me what's going on.
When one thinks of skinny, they think of this.
Olive oil. Yeah.
This is Popeye, olive oil. I'm holding up a pencil. Nobody's like this except for supermodels.
Right.
And they're disgusting,
by the way.
Or people
that have anorexia or bulimia.
I do the opposite of fat shaming. I try to shame them into looking somewhat
normal. Eating a sandwich?
Yes, or a pea, something. I'll do the opposite. I won't fat shame, but that I will shame because I think that's like, I'd rather somebody be 400 pounds than six.
Really? But that's not healthy either.
I know.
Sad.
I know. I have to choose a side.
You don't have to.
Yeah, I kind of do.
It's the matrix. Just whatever, man.
Yeah,
like you said, you're napping, you'll wake up eventually.
Have you noticed that, and this has been a generational thing now for, I guess, about 20 years, that girls call each other guys?
Yeah.
I started to notice that, and it's starting to bother me.
Is it?
Yeah, because they're not guys, they're girls.
You know.
When I'm with a group of my male friends, which will happen very infrequently, I will not say, so girls.
You should. That'd be funny.
Yeah, I should do it.
You know, we keep forgetting to talk about Ron, and I got to bring it up real quick because we keep forgetting.
Please.
Houses near cemeteries. Remember? We talked about that. We were going to talk about that.
Finally.
Though there's a strip of houses, and my daughter and I just drove by it looking for Pokemon the other day. That's one of the
routes
we go.
That, huh?
Oh, definitely. Oh my gosh. Mm. It's so much fun.
That ended a while ago, I thought.
No, and we're going to have a year anniversary coming up next month, and they're going to have new stuff happening.
Oh, great.
Oh, I need an outfit. I need a uniform. But anyway, so we drive by and I show her. I said, look at the cemetery. Now look over here. Somebody actually built a porch. We were laughing so they can sit out and look at it.
Get out.
Yeah. What is that? Why would you want to have a house looking at a cemetery?
I don't know. I could never buy property and live next to a
cemetery.
Even
if it's cheap, I don't want it.
Every day I would be reminded of my demise.
Oh, it's creepy too.
Creepy? Yes, it's creepy.
Especially around Halloween. That'd be even creepier.
It's just like,
No, but it's people are doing it. I mean, they have to. Maybe they don't have a choice.
And
they put up trees in front. I think some people had trees in front of their house.
Yeah, it makes a difference, yeah. Well, I don't know.
It's peaceful. Your neighbors won't ever disturb you, though.
That's the big word.
Does it sell?
At least it's a quiet neighborhood. But I can't.
And why are people even buried anymore? You know what? Cremation is the thing. I don't know why people have to take up more space in the earth.
Religion.
Okay, yeah. You're right.
Yes, it's religion.
Are you going to be buried?
No.
I don't want people to visit me someplace and put flowers there. I'm not there.
I don't want worms going through my body eating me.
You could still be cremated and buried. People have done that also.
Who's that famous astrophysicist guy that
Neil Tyson?
Yes,
DeGrasse.
Neil Harvey Arswald or something.
Yeah.
DeGrasse, yeah.
Haley Joel Osment.
I saw an interview he did, and he actually believed this. And I thought, I don't know why you're talking about this, sir. He said that he would rather be buried so that the worms and the bugs can eat his flesh and suck off his bones. And the interviewer said, why would you say that?
Mm-hmm.
He said, because that's the ecosystem.
Oh, well, that's one way to look at it.
We feed off of each other. My energy or my leftover thing is causing energy and food for these other entities.
So he didn't even want a box? He just wanted to be in the ground? Because how else are they going to get to him through the box?
I don't know what happens. I've never dug up boxes after. I don't know what happens to these things. I don't know what happens inside. I don't want to know.
Maybe something gets... That's a good question.
I don't want to know.
But then they also have, if you're cremated, you can still get the universe to go on by becoming a... They put them in a pod and a tree will grow out of you. You
I
bury
suppose
you.
So, yes. My
isn't
ashes...
That, isn't that better? Yeah, do your ashes and make a tree.
Then I'm carbon.
Okay.
I guess that's good.
But you're a tree. That's Ron. We'll call you Ron.
Am I polluting the environment?
Oh, but nobody okay. better chop you down.
Yeah,
because then it's even worse. You died two deaths.
Yeah, but then I'm somebody's house.
Oh yeah, you're a piece of paper.
I'm a piece of paper in somebody's house, and they live across the street from a cemetery.
Yeah, there's no escape. That's the Matrix. That's you come back as a. Oh.
I did that when I did a supernatural series back in the early 1990s. Yep. It was called Realms of the Supernatural. Right. Deal with a guy named Mike Lutton or girl. Hey, girls. And we actually went to some haunted house locations. We stayed overnight at the Lizzie Borden house. We went to a really haunted place in Ashland, Massachusetts.
That's so cool, but you said nothing ever happened, right?
It did in Ashland, Massachusetts.
It did?
Their stuff
Ooh,
happened.
I didn't know
yes.
that.
Oh, I'll show you the video sometime. Oh, baby.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Don't show me then. I'll be creeped out.
Yeah. We used to, a couple of times when we were preparing to do this series, we would go to cemeteries at night.
Yeah.
And they let you in, apparently, you know. And then we had recorders, though, and we brought mm-hmm. the equipment that we had bought to do this show. And you can actually make yourself hear and see things.
Oh, the brain is powerful.
It's amazing. If you really, if your endorphins, your phalanges, your hypomenades, if you stimulate them,
right.
These are terms that don't exist.
I've heard of dopamine.
Yeah, me too. It will actually cause you to hallucinate and to, like, if you, it's like, let's say this. You're in your house at night. You're mm-hmm. alone.
Yeah.
Right? Which doesn't happen a lot. To
no,
you,
never.
Nor to me.
I have eight people in my home.
Yeah, okay. Well, the one day that might right. have happened.
Yeah.
You're in your house. You hear a creak in the kitchen downstairs. You don't think twice about it. It's the house creaking. Big deal. Maybe it's a little windy outside, whatever the case may be.
No, I'd be scared. If I was alone?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't like that.
Well.
I wouldn't like any noise.
Just a little creak? Queak? Creak?
No, creaks or squeaks or queaks. I don't want any of it.
Well, my point is, if you go into a house that's not yours,
yeah.
and you've been told distinctly, this is a haunted house,
then
if you heard
something.
The slightest yeah. little creak or...
I'd freak out.
Yes.
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 That's what I'm talking about, and that's what happened in the graveyard. When we sat there...
You heard a squirrel and you thought it was Jack the Ripper.
For example. Or you would look in the direction of a gravestone and you would think you saw something hovering next to it, but it's probably just a bug.
Well, I used to see... Once in a while, I'd see flashes on these headstones. Something was flashing and I realized it must be a car way over there.
Perhaps
the headlight
so.
Was.
Sure,
but still, I saw...
Sure.
What was that flash? Well, some people have little flashy things that are solar powered. They put by the gravestones and they light up.
Why?
Like a marker, like a memorial. They want to keep their loved one a light by them, the shining light.
A flashy light?
Yeah.
On a gravestone?
Yes, they sell these things. I think they're
Makes
solar
no
power.
Sense.
They don't want their loved one to be in the dark, even though they're under the ground. I don't get it. Maybe it's like an angel, like a supposed to be like a halo light. I don't know.
Oh my God.
But some cemeteries don't want any of your garbage out there. They come along and clean it right out there. Like, don't put fake flowers, don't put anything, crosses, you know, just no.
Oh, my God.
You okay. can plant maybe real live flowers, but they don't want any junk.
They're freaking me out about my fellow human beings.
Well,
putting
I shouldn't have.
Flashers on it so that...
Not everybody, but I've
so
seen
the
them.
The person that's buried doesn't feel like they're in the dark?
I don't know.
I mean,
maybe that's the
God.
Logic. I'm trying to figure out the logic.
Oh,
what
okay,
else could
you don't
it be?
Know. Okay,
I don't
okay,
know.
Okay,
Why?
Okay.
We'll look that up.
That
Let
would
me
scare
write down.
The
I,
out
need
of
to,
me.
I need to Google that.
All right. Well, that certainly will be the proper way of finding things out. I'm just going to go to, did you ever know anybody who was in the business of embalming?
Did I know anybody?
Yeah, like a funeral director kind of person. I don't know if they do the embalming themselves.
Oh, I mean, I've known funeral directors, and I'm pretty sure they do it themselves. I said do.
Right.
They do.
So cute. Yeah, they do. And I don't, that's something I could never do.
Oh, of course not.
I never do that. I don't even want to know somebody that does it. And I'm sure they're very fine, wonderful people. And somebody has
Usually
to do it.
Usually it's a family business. They, you know,
you're
taught young. And so that's how you grow up. And
what
that's your business.
What do you have for dinner? What could you possibly have for dinner?
What do you mean?
And not freak out.
Oh, yeah. Vegetarians. Just become vegetarian.
You're going to have to.
Get a pinto
you're
going
to have to. Right. Yes. A vegetarian embalming funeral director.
I don't know. It's so, yeah.
I can't. I can't.
Well, then just have everybody cremate. The only reason they embalm is for the showing, I think.
Tori, what a sad life. I know. What a sad life.
Maybe.
Maybe you're thinking your
work is artistic, so that you want everyone to like remember them how they were, and you feel pride in your work.
Day after day, sometimes 2-3 times a day, working.
Oh, yeah.
With
what if it's a young person?
Grieving. Yeah. Young yeah. or old, especially young. Child, whatever. I mean, it's just, how can you?
The first wake I ever went to was a 13-year-old boy, and I was freaked. I was 13 myself. But it was a classmate. Yes. So you're like,
but what if you actually work
here?
There and you saw that every day, and all you see are people crying and very, you know, unless there's a lot of money involved, then they're not crying
so much. That's what they say, like police, detective work. Yeah. They get worn out because they're seeing all this homicide and everything, and it's burning you out, man.
Yeah, man.
So I don't, you're right. It's a living.
Some of the things I can't do.
You gotta make a living.
I don't even know if I could be a gynecologist.
Well,
yeah.
You gotta go to school.
Try it, I guess. Well, aren't there apprenticeships?
No, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, they do have like these interns that go around. Mm. Like once I was being examined and for something, I don't remember, but they had can we have the interns just watch? I'm like, I guess. Young people.
Yeah. Do they video record it?
Everything? No.
Okay.
But I mean, I guess that's why would I say no?
Wow.
That's if they're just, trying to learn. I'm helping too.
That's
like
just awkward.
Like
though.
Neil
that's
Tyson. I'm becoming a.
Yeah.
To the environment, you can help. Now you can learn as well. Like you know what? I should just donate my body to science. They can pick my brain apart and find out what went wrong in there.
Or just like do uterus demonstrations. I don't know how that works.
No, I don't want mine. I'm all set with it.
No,
I should
maybe,
take it out
maybe,
and give it. Leave that to science too.
Take it out. Make a pocketbook out of it.
I don't know if that's necessary, but I mean, I don't want these ovaries anymore. They're just a detriment.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Angelina got hers out. I want mine out, too. I'm going to call Angelina and say, what do you do? You just get those ovaries right out? I want them out.
Yeah. I'm thinking yard sale.
Well, hers might be valuable. Mm-hmm. Mine, no one cares.
No, yeah. Well,
but she would never sell her ovaries. That'd be so morbid.
You could say,
I don't even think it's legal.
You could say it's somebody else's ovaries. You could say
I think it's illegal to sell human body parts.
It is. Well, it's not popular.
Well, maybe if it went on the dark web, I could do it.
Yeah.
You know about the dark web?
Certainly do.
You do?
Sure.
Ooh.
I've heard about it. I think you told me.
I've been there.
4 months ago.
Yeah, it was a year ago. And I have been there.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. It's you dark. Can get hitmen. You can get drugs.
Yeah. Okay.
There's all kinds of wacky stuff there.
Oh, my God.
So right. I don't go there anymore, but I've been there. Because they can track you. I don't even want to take a chance that I could track that I was even there. But I saw it. So I'm just saying you can probably get body parts on the dark web.
Okay, great to know.
Isn't it?
I'm not going to put up any kind of link.
You can't.
I won't.
It's too tricky to find.
I don't want to find it. speaking of finding things, our guest is going to join us now, Mitch Prinstein. Let's say hello to him. Hello, Mitch. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. This is Mitch Prinstein. Tori.
Hi, Mitch.
Yeah, just Tori right there.
Hello.
You're with the University of North Carolina, I understand?
I am, that's right.
Okay, and your position there?
I am a professor of psychology and neuroscience.
Ooh. Okay.
In the South.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
And it must be challenging for you.
This
it's fun.
Your book, Popular, shouted out to us that this was a timely situation. This is The Power and Likeability in a Status-Obsessed World. A lot of us have this need within us to be popular. Has it always been like that, or is it a growing need?
It's a great question. You know, we do have always had a need in us to be popular. There's actually good evidence that it's something that is part of our species. But something has changed dramatically in the last 10 or 20 years. There's two kinds of popularity. One is based on likability, and one is based on our status. And in the last couple decades, we've gone from being a culture that values likability to one that really seems to prioritize status.
Yeah. Has Facebook thrusted us further into that idea?
Yeah, probably. You know, it's amazing if you talk to kids today about social media, they'll tell you that their life goal is to become social media famous. They are focused on the status version of popularity in a way that might be pretty concerning if you're a parent. We don't want kids to think that their value in life is measured based on the number of their followers. That's not a good outcome for those who are the most high status.
But unfortunately, Justin Bieber did exactly that, and he's like the most popular person of that age that exists. So how is that's got to be something to combat then?
I mean, do you know there are teen magazines now that have articles telling kids how to become social media famous? And explaining to them that it'll solve their woes. There's makeup companies now that have makeup specifically designed to look good in selfie photos. This is a really dangerous message that we're starting to send to kids. And as parents, I think it's up to us to really be telling our kids that's not the kind of popularity that you want necessarily.
Well, it's comforting to know that we have a president who doesn't care about being popular and who has no problem with that, he said ironically.
So that guy is so concerned about his own popularity. I think he teaches us a really important lesson.
Yes.
You know, no matter how much status you have, it will never be enough. If it's not being president, it's having the biggest inauguration crowds. You know, what a great example of why pursuing status is the wrong path, because you will never have enough, you will never feel happy and satisfied, and it's frankly addictive to the point of being a little destructive.
Yeah.
Yes, you'll never achieve the apex.
Oh, well. In your book, you talk about people that go through grief, people that lose a relationship or are dumped by another person, etc., and apparently there's an actual physical and mental change that takes place in your DNA. Did I read that right?
Yeah, you did, and it's really shocking, but it's true. It doesn't even take something as severe as losing a relationship. Even when we just imagine that we might get socially excluded, it changes the expression of our DNA, and it puts us at risk for a whole range of inflammatory diseases.
Oh.
You know, it turns out that for all the money that we're spending on the dieting industry and the exercise industry, popularity has a huge impact on our health. In fact, popularity, being unpopular, is such a strong predictor of health problems and death that the only predictor that's equally powerful is the effects of smoking on our bodies.
Okay, so if you do both, you're in big trouble. Wow.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So how do we combat this? I mean, not only for our children that are growing up, but for ourselves that are living amongst this social phenomenon anyway, what can I do about this so it doesn't affect me?
Well, that's a great question and something that I really focus on in the book as well. You know, I think that for us and for our kids, the first thing is to really understand the difference between status and likability. Likeability is worth pursuing, but status is not. We need to remember that ourselves, and we need to remember to tell our kids that. But when it comes to changing even our likability, there are some pretty clear ways of doing it. For adults, we have to realize how much those experiences we had as kids are still affecting us today. And it's actually really remarkable. We now can understand this by looking at the brain, how much those things that happened to us at 16 are affecting literally the things that we see and how we interpret those things every single day, hundreds of times a day, all stemming back to the filter that we developed from our experiences in high school.
Can you retrain your brain then, excuse me, to think, if you think these things more about, you know, that don't matter, and you can actually get the neurons to process correctly?
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, the more we recognize that pattern, that trap that we're getting so easily stuck in, the more we can make sure that we're noticing other things we don't usually notice, interpreting things differently, and it does actually change the way that our brain processes information.
My therapist told me that.
Well, there you go. Okay, so should I stop using Facebook and tie my head into a bag?
Again?
Right?
No. You know, social media actually gives us the chance to become more likable or to gain more status. It's a little more focused on status if we're not careful. You know, searching for those retweets and the like button, which really is not about likability at all. it's an easy trap to pursue status, but you know, every time we really do something that shows that we care about the person on the other end of that mouse click, we send them a message, we learn about their lives, we help them celebrate their achievements, really make a connection. It actually can be used to foster likability in yeah. really dramatic ways.
I mean, it's easy to talk about, I assume, and to understand, and everybody would say, yeah, that makes sense, but to actually alter what was set up in your childhood for you to act as an adult becomes very difficult. And it's almost like what we're saying is we're defining ourselves with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And in other words,
yeah, that's right.
In other words, our opinion of ourselves doesn't matter. It's what other people think of us that regulates our success or our feelings. That's kind of scary.
Yeah. You know, in adolescence, that's a really normal thing. Because at the same time that we suddenly get really focused on popularity, it's also the time when we're developing our stable identities. So at that period of our lives, it's totally normal and okay for us to define ourselves based on how others think of us. It used to be that we would all grow up and we would start developing a more stable sense of who we are that's independent of what other people think of us. But that changed, and now the world has become a place where we're all still acting a little bit like we did in adolescence and still caring about what others think about us in a way that is starting to get to be a little bit harmful. We kind of, it's interesting that, you know, we really have all these opportunities to see how much others give us status. But according to research, we've never felt more lonely and isolated than we do now in this generation.
It's interesting because they always talk about New York City, Manhattan. There's over 8 million people there, and yet it can be one of the loneliest places in the world. And that's, I guess, a good example.
Exactly. I mean, it's really the difference between having a lot of people notice you and maybe even having some influence over those people versus people really knowing who you are and caring about you and you caring about them. There's research that's shown that if you look at the diaries of young people back in the 1900s versus closer to today, you find a tremendous difference. You know, back in the day, people would say that they really cared about community and making a contribution and helping others. That's not what the diaries say now of young people, as you can imagine. It's a very me selfie culture, you know. They just want to be considered more famous than everyone else.
Yeah, I think that's the most valuable thing that I've taken away from this. It absolutely has. Everything's about, it's all ego fulfilled.
I hope that the book is a wake-up call for people to recognize the difference between those two things and realize where we've kind of slid over the past decade or so.
Yeah. Well, the book is called Popular, The Power of Likeability in a Status-Obsessed World. And this is Mitch Prinstein, and it's available everywhere, I assume.
It is.
It's a very,
thank you.
It's a very popular book.
I look forward to reading it. I do, because
that's
exactly
so much.
What I focus on.
Thank you for your time today, Mitch. Pleasure.
Thank you, Mitch.
Great to talk to you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was interesting.
Great. Very nice guy.
Very nice guy.
Sounded cute.
And tell it. Deja vu.
Yeah.
Deja vu.
I know.
Tori, thank you so much for your indulgence today.
Oh, you're welcome.
And we'll do it again next week. Until
sure
then, we wish you peace.